Pastor Brian, and you're listening to That's Life. On our program today, I have a very special guest, and maybe some of you have seen the teasers on Facebook this week, but you've seen him on Fox News. He's been highlighted in the New York Times, Politico, the LA Times, Washington Post. He's written Fox News opinion pieces. He's also the host of a weekly radio program, Truth, on the Truth Network, 99.3 FM in Des Moines, Iowa. His blog is called Caffeinated Thoughts, and he's the number one political blog in Iowa. So, Shane Vanderhart, welcome to the program.
Hey, very welcome. I have to say one correction. Probably number one conservative blog. Bleeding Heartland might, you know, may beat me out on readership. I don't know. They're a liberal blog.
I stand corrected. You also had an honorable mention by Rush Limbaugh, and we've talked about this before. If I remember correctly, you had interviewed Rick Santorum, and something in that interview went viral. I think it had to do with contraception, if I remember correctly.
I asked Rick Santorum, basically, what's the hill that you'd die on? And he brought up birth control in the context of that question. And I'm like, okay. I didn't realize at the time how that was going to... Liberals basically started grasping onto that interview. And it's still today, that's still the most watched video on my YouTube channel.
That's way awesome.
So it's And actually, when I saw him the cycle when he was running against the president, a couple times after he would run for president, you know, when he come back to Iowa, he looked at me. He's like, he was like teasingly blamed me. Right. You got trouble. I'm like, oh no, I didn't get you in trouble. I didn't ask you about contraceptives.
You got yourself in trouble.
Now, yeah.
Rush Limbaugh actually mentioned it on his program. And didn't he say something about the poor audio quality of your recording equipment?
Oh, yeah. Like I was, you know, doing this with his radio program in mind. So.
Right. And now, to this day, has Rush Limbaugh purchased you new radio equipment?
No, he has not. I think anybody has complained about the audio or my video quality. And it's actually improved quite a bit since 2012 with just having an iPhone, and then I had equipment I could borrow on occasion that actually gave me the ability to plug into a Multivox, so my videos are a lot better. Yeah. But I've always made the offers like, well, if you don't like it, you can always buy me something else.
Exactly.
You're right.
Shane, your website talks about the two things we're not supposed to talk about, religion and politics. Isn't it true that religion and politics shouldn't mix? You really shouldn't. If you're a Christian, you really shouldn't get involved in politics. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think for one thing, somebody who's a follower of Christ needs to realize that politics is a means to an end. It's not the end in itself. I've heard many people, sincere believers, who will latch on the candidate and act as if. This candidate is going to be the person who solves all of our problems. Mm-hmm. And we are not going to see fundamental change in the United States through politics. We're not going to, salvation will not come from Washington, D.C.
Amen.
There's only one savior. It's not Barack Obama. It's not Donald Trump. It's not Ted Cruz. It's Jesus Christ. And if we forget that, if we forget the true fundamental change and revival that needs to occur, you know, only comes through Jesus working in the hearts of individuals and bringing transformation to their lives, then that's the only way we're going to see our country and our culture turn around.
So why pursue politics at all?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, some people don't. I'm of the opinion that, for one thing, I believe we're supposed to be salt and light in whatever realm God has put us in. And for some people, that's politics. I also think that God's called us to be good citizens, too. So you know, for some people that just may mean voting, and that's fine. Other people like me who enjoy politics, it's political junkie, it's an opportunity for me to, you know, inject my faith into this realm and have conversations with people about Jesus that, you know, in environments that maybe I would never be able to any other time. But, you know, Rome, basically God instituted government. You see that in Romans 13. And, you know, so I don't think it's something that he, you know, has taken his hand off of. I think it's something that obviously he is actively involved in.
And I think you pointed you gave a pretty good balanced, you know, explanation. It's not all politics. Jesus Christ is the Savior. I love that you said Obama's not the Savior, you know, as he's been, he's literally been pronounced, you know. I explain it this way, Shane. I will say that the Bible clearly indicates time and time again this principle that these are the parameters of God's will. God says, this is what I want you to do, and this is what I don't want you to do, and this is the parameter in which I want you to live. And the truth is, when we live within the parameters of God's will, that is the position in which God will bless us. And so, is it not our responsibility as citizens that you said, and I love that quote too, basically you said, God wants us to be good citizens, right? Well, if we love our country, don't we want to position ourselves in such a way that we'll be blessed by God? And so it stops at the it starts at the leader that we elect.
Yeah. I also look at, you know, examples in the Bible. You have Daniel. I think he was just a little bit involved in politics, don't you? Nehemiah, you know, and God did amazing things through these two guys. We don't know what God will accomplish in this realm, and I think too, it's important whenever we see Christians leave any aspect of our culture, it always goes to the lowest common denominator.
Mm-hmm.
So the more we abandon public schools, for instance, and I'm a homeschooling parent, so I'm not going to say you have to keep your kids in public school, but we do need some believers in public schools, and whether that's, you know, whether that's a family making, you know, the decision to keep their kids in, or better yet, I think, you know, having Christian teachers in public schools. You know, we need to have believers in the arts. We need to have believers in politics. We need to have believers in education, especially in higher education. Because
if we don't keep rolling, I'm going to cut you off there, and I'm going to go to my next question, because if we don't get rolling, we're going to have to do four or five shows to get all my questions in. But very well said, Shane. I've seen you on Facebook. I will follow you. I read your blog often. Oftentimes you'll quote scripture passages. You've been talking about the Bible enough today that anyone who doesn't know you, it sounds like you are a professing Christian. I know that you are. You were once a pastor, in fact. You genuinely desire to pattern your life after that of Jesus Christ.
Right.
You said once that you in good conscience couldn't vote for Donald Trump. Did you mean that as a Christian you couldn't vote for Donald Trump?
I don't want to project my conscience on anybody else, but based on Donald Trump's temperament and his past and the way he treats people, I believe that, you know, I mean, God could do a miracle in his life should he win the Republican nomination and should he win the general election. God is in control, so God's not going to be surprised by that result.
Mm-hmm.
Could he end up doing miraculous things through Donald Trump? Absolutely. And I would be praying that, you know, Donald Trump would be the absolutely best president he could be, should he win the White House. But from what I know of Donald Trump, and I've heard of Donald Trump and his position on issues which have been all over the place. The fact that, you know, he's okay with pushing through, you know, these LGBT, especially transgender policies.
For those that don't know, LGBT is lesbian, gay,
bisexual, transsexual.
Bisexual, transsexual. Okay, good.
Yeah. Then some people add a Q to that questioning. So anyway, he's in favor of that. He's defended Planned Parenthood. He wants to add rape and incest exceptions to the GOP platform.
And you mentioned the GOP platform. You said that having Trump as a nominee would set the party back a generation. What do you mean by that?
Okay, I'm trying to remember if I said the generation, but I think
it's a direct quote from your blog. Having him as our nominee would set the party back a generation.
Well, you're expecting I'm going to remember what I write about, Brian. Basically,
to be fair, I told you I could give you the questions in advance, and you said not necessary.
I could say, oh yeah, I said that on such and such day. no, basically, what I think will happen is for one thing, he's hurting the conservative brand because he's trying to paint himself as a conservative. Mm-hmm. You get some conservative people, and it's mind-boggling to me. And some of these people are friends of mine who are latching on to his campaign. And I'm thinking, what in the world is he, you know, why are you supporting this guy when he's obviously not a conservative? But my primary concern with Donald Trump at the top of the ticket is that he is, especially since I think he is going to lose in the general election, if you trust polling at all, and he has had the most unfavorable ratings of any candidate, like, in years. I mean, nobody likes him overall. If you look at general election polling, he's going to be a drag on the entire ballot.
I definitely resonate with what you said about conservatives. I'm a pastor. I'm very careful. I very rarely put anything political on my Facebook or even my blog. This is a big step, you know, for me. However, I do not come out and support any one candidate. However, I did put something on my Facebook several months ago. It was a montage of, you know, things Trump had said then and now. And basically, it showed his very liberal left-wing, you know, past. And my comment was, this is just for all of my, you know, friends who believe that Trump is a conservative. That's my biggest concern with him personally, is that he would be a wolf in sheep's clothing. We'll have another instance of, I was for that before I was against it. Because, you know, he had said things like, literally, I view myself more as a Democrat than a Republican. He's come out for single payer
healthcare.
Yeah. Thank you. You know, just some real liberal causes, which if that's what you want, fine. But like I commented on one of your blogs, I'm very concerned about this Johnny come lately, you know, conservative.
Right. And you've already seen him backtracking on some of the things that he has said he supports. So, those things are reasons why my conscience will not allow me to vote for him in the general election. Obviously, I'm not going to vote for Hillary Clinton because I think she's going to be the Democratic nominee.
Well, some people say that a vote for Donald Trump is a vote for Hillary Clinton. And so why waste your vote? Isn't it unchristian of you not to vote for Trump?
I honestly don't see much difference between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton.
So Trump.
That's right.
A lot of evangelicals are. I don't know if I'll say a lot. There are some evangelicals for certain who are kind of issue, one issue people, and you know what that issue is. We're talking about abortion and partial birth abortion. Now you did, you mentioned some things that Trump is kind of backtracking on now, wanting to, let some more things go in his stance on abortion. But some Christians would say that is the issue. Hillary is much is pro-choice. Trump claims to be pro-life.
He defends Planned Parenthood. He wants to continue to fund Planned Parenthood. I don't see how you can be truly pro-life and think it's okay to have a child be killed in the womb just because the baby was conceived in rape. I actually personally know a couple of rape or babies who were conceived in or babies, people who were conceived in rape. That's not a pro-life position.
Yeah.
So, you know, at least he hasn't gone so far to save the health of the mother, which could end up meaning anything, including emotional health.
The answer to that question, of course, from the other side is, you know, it's 1 or 2 or 3 or 4% of what Planned Parenthood does is actually has to do with abortion. A lot of it is all this good stuff, and don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Well, they're federally qualified health centers that provide a full spectrum of health care that doesn't include abortion. And yeah. There are far more federally qualified health centers in every state than there are Planned Parenthood clinics.
Go ahead,
I'm
sorry.
Folks.
Mm-hmm. I would love to do a whole interview with you on this. Very near and dear to my heart. I get choked up talking about this. I too know someone who I love very, very much that has changed my world, and they are a product of rape. And had they been aborted, oh my gosh, you know, you're right. That's not a pro-life standpoint. Because those children become, you know, wonderful human beings.
Yeah.
So
if you believe that life begins at conception, and honestly, Donald Trump has not stated that he believes that. So his quote unquote pro life position has not been really fleshed out. So I don't know what he really believes. But if you believe that life begins conception, and you believe a child is a person in the womb,
mm-hmm.
then they should need to be afforded all the protections that are afforded to those who are outside the womb. As far
certainly,
as
if you believe in women's rights, then all of the girl babies should have rights at any chance, at any rate. A lot of evangelical Christians were following Dr. Ben Carson, I think mostly because he came out very strong. He said, "I am a follower of Jesus Christ," and that was a breath of fresh air. He was an outsider like Trump, which I think is part of the reason people are really pro-Trump. We're so tired of politics as usual, and I raise my hand, amen to that.
Right.
Now, back in March, and I know so much has gone on, it's hard to remember. I think a lot of our jaws dropped when Ben Carson then came out and endorsed Trump. I think there was a backdoor deal, personally. My question for you is, do you think that his support for Trump pushed many Christians to follow suit? And do you think that his endorsement carries much weight?
I don't think he really did. He was that much of a factor in pushing evangelicals to support Trump. There was already a base of evangelical support for Trump. What I find interesting with that evangelical support, when I look at exit polling, is in the South you saw a definite, strong evangelical support for Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
However, in the South, that's more of a cultural thing.
Mm-hmm.
When you get to nitty gritty and you get down to church attendance, those who attend church on a weekly basis aren't supporting Donald Trump. So,
the statistics prove that out.
Yeah, some have. Not to say he didn't have any support among people who attend church on a weekly basis, but be leery about the term evangelical in exit polling, just because it's never fleshed out, especially by region. You know, sometimes especially down south, is like, well, say I'm not born again, that's like saying I'm not American, you know?
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time that we have for today's program. If you like the content of this program, make sure that you check in next time as we conclude our interview with Shane Vanderhart from Caffeinated Thoughts. Until next time, I'm Pastor Brian Fontaine, and his is the kingdom and the power and the glory. So let's live for his kingdom, by his power, and to his glory, be blessed.